First today, why school districts are spending tens of millions of dollars to strengthen the security of their buildings. The Newtown shooting a couple of years ago changed a lot of things. Today, if you can believe it, school district policing is the fastest growing segment of law enforcement. KCUR's Sam Zeff recently took a look at this issue of police in schools.
On an oppressively hot afternoon last week, students at Argentine Middle School in KCK streamed out of the building at the end of the day. Some live nearby, others are looking for their folks, and dozens are headed for school buses lined up along Ruby Avenue. But all are under the watchful eye of Officer DJ Howell.
Hey, you guys, stop up there. Stop, stop. Do not cross. Do not cross.
Of the brand new Kansas City, Kansas School District Police Department.
Well, we made the transition from security to law enforcement officer. The first day, the kids didn't even notice anything except I got a new uniform. They were saying, oh, we like your shirt, Officer Howe. We like your shirt, Mr. Howe. And really, that's telling of the relationship that, you know, we as officers have in our schools.
According to the National Association of School Resource Officers, school district policing is the fastest growing segment of law enforcement. In 2008, which are the latest figures available from the Justice Department, there were about 5,000 sworn police officers employed by school districts across the country. That number is certainly higher today. But all those cops in all those schools haven't always been an improvement.
When I was in school, I engaged in all sorts of behavior under the age of majority that if you applied a strict legal definition to it, would have been illegal.
Jason Zeiderberg is the director of research at the Justice Policy Institute in Washington. There's been a number of studies on how police changed the school building experience. JPI's was one of the first, and it showed that as more sworn officers were introduced into schools, the more kids were pushed into the justice system. In Texas, 100,000 kids a year are ticketed by school police. In Florida, 16,000 students a year are cited. Most of those are for fighting or tardiness, the kind of things that used to mean a trip to the principal's office and not to court. And school district police officers in Mays, Kansas, in suburban Wichita, caused a ruckus among parents in January when they issued $50 tickets for swearing.
What's the long-term effect of pushing kids through the juvenile justice system?
There's a whole new bound of research that shows that if you end up going deeper into the juvenile justice system when you could have had your behavior addressed otherwise, you're more likely to recidivate in the long term. You're more likely to reoffend than if we could have addressed the behavior early on and kept you out of the system.
We are here to keep our kids in school, not to take them out of school.
When KCK schools needed a chief, they didn't go far. Rick Armstrong spent 37 years in the KCK Police Department, the last 3.5 as chief. Armstrong did a tour on the SWAT team and won 2 Purple Hearts, one for being shot outside of a 7-Eleven by a sniper. He and the district are aware of the issues caused by school police, and from the very start, they say, they were determined to create a different kind of department. A marathon runner who still looks like he can take down a door, Armstrong looks like a cop, but talks like a teacher.
Being around the vitality of youth, there's something that is infectious that, I mean, the kindergartners, the preschoolers are just so sweet. I don't know what else I would describe. They're just absolutely enjoyable. Setting in their little packs and, you know, everyone talking in the way they hold the door for you and everyone speaks to you.
Go ahead and cross, guys. Cross, 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 cross.
Which brings us back to Officer DJ Howell at Argentine Middle School. KCK is converting its longtime security staff to sworn officers. By the end of this year, they'll have 30 officers. Because they were already on staff, the conversion to a police department, the district says, will only cost an extra $250,000 a year. In addition to having an armed officer in case a gunman enters the school, the new officers are trained in investigations and can direct traffic before and after school. Howell, a big man who made his living in arena football for a time, joined the district last year as security.
When you're talking about just relationship with the kids, I mean, if anything, it's gotten better because I've been here, you know, and it's going on my second year now.
Argentine principal Jeremy Brueggemann says it's important to everyone in the district that the students see Hal and the rest of the school police as friends, not foes.
They see him as a support and for them, and I think that's important for them to know that he's there to help and that they don't see it as a threat or negative.
As Howell and a group of students sweat and wait for parents, it's clear he has charmed the students.
He's a really nice guy, and like if you need something, he can help you with it, and he makes us feel safe here.
I mean, he is really protective over us and makes sure that we're safe and all, but he's funny too, so he's a really nice guy.
And says Chief Armstrong, that's exactly what he wants to hear about his new police department, because its success, he says, will not be judged on arrests and prosecutions, but how many students they help stay in school and out of jail. Sam Zeff, KCUR News.
And joining me now to talk about school safety and the new security in our school buildings are John Douglas. He's Director of Safety and Security for the Shawnee Mission School District. He retired in April from the Overland Park Police Department, where he served for 41 years, most recently as chief of the department. John, nice to have you back again. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Sam Zeff, whose report you just heard on KCUR, is also with us. Sam, nice to have you, too.
Pleasure.
Well, Chief Douglas, you just heard Sam's piece. What about this concern that Sam outlined here that if you put police in schools, you'll wind up putting more kids through juvenile court, and that carries with it, you know, all sorts of downsides for greater problems with those kids down the road?
Well, I don't believe it's the putting of a police into the schools. I think it's how you police when you get there.
Ah.
And I would totally agree with Chief Armstrong. We've known each other for a long time and think much the same way. You know, there's a lot of different policing things out there, everything from SWAT to community policing. This is a new and emerging style of policing, and he's absolutely correct. Our role is not to take people off the street, as it might have been at one time. It is to keep those kids in school and keep them away from the edge and identify the ones who are at risk and help them stay out of a judicial system.
So you're not arresting all sorts of kids in the Shawnee Mission School District and throwing them in the clink then?
No, absolutely not. And there's been a lot of studies. You know, the Attorney General Holder did a study on disparate impact, and we've certainly looked at that. No, it's the other way around. Our officers are being trained and encouraged to work with the kids and keep them out of trouble, not find things to cite them for.
You know, Sam Zeff, to what extent do you think school districts are actually considering this possibility when they bring on a police force into their districts, this possibility that there is a downside to this whole thing?
Well, I can tell you that both Chief Armstrong and Tom Phillips, who is the chief of police in Blue Springs, former Jackson County Sheriff, when I talked to them, they said, you know what, there's a certain kind of officer that we are looking for. If you want to ride a motorcycle, if you want to kick down a door, if you want to be on a SWAT team, if you want to carry an MP5.
Maybe this isn't your thing. Eh?
This is not your thing, right?
Yeah.
And what they described is we're looking for a more mature officer, somebody who can interact with the kids. The advantage, and we heard it with DJ Howell in the story in Kansas City, Kansas, is that these are security guards that have been converted. They went to the Law Enforcement Training Center in Hutchinson. So they have a relationship with the kids. They have a relationship with the staff. And it was a pretty smooth transition from that point of view. But Chief Douglas is absolutely right from everything I've read from the interviews. It's not just the presence of an officer, but it's what that officer's mission is and how they've been trained.
Sam, give us some context here. You've already mentioned Blue Springs having a school police force, KCK, Shawnee Mission now with John Douglas. How many of our districts in the metro here have police forces? Most of them? Some of them? What are we looking at?
In Missouri, there's only one, and that's in Blue Springs. In Kansas, there's a handful, Auburn, Washburn, in Topeka, Shawnee Mission, of course, Goddard, Mays, which are in Sedgwick County, and Topeka public schools have their own police department. But as in KCK, and I'm pretty sure in Shawnee Mission, there's also contracts with the municipal police to provide school resource officers, and that's what they're also doing in KCK. In each one of the high schools in Kansas City, Kansas, there'll be an SRO from KCK PD plus an officer from the new police department with the school district.
Chief Douglas, Sam just said there's a handful in the metro. Do you expect that 5-10 years from now, the picture is going to be vastly different?
Absolutely. What you're starting to see is school districts reach out to police administrators to create a district police presence and to do it the right way. I think that what you're seeing is a response not only to the acts of violence against the schools, but also recognizing the very positive things that can be brought there and helping the kids and the students, and finally to build the right positive relationships with students and their parents, that are essential for the interface in the community.
And, Chief, we're doing this why? Is it because of Newtown? Is it because of other school shootings? Why are we in this place? It's a very big, a different place than we've been in society for a very long time.
Well, we think it's new because we're having an emphasis on it, and Newtown was there. But you got to remember, there were school resource officers in Columbine High School, and there was school security at Columbine High School as well. So it's not like it happened yesterday. Before that happened, that attack on that high school, they were in that school when it happened. But there is a paradigm shift, and I don't think it's unreasonable. Think about this for a moment. All of our major companies, all of our major assets have either police or security of some sort. Now, why would we not want to extend that kind of protection to our children, who are our most precious asset? And in this particular case, it's not just a security force or an armed security force. The school districts have gone to a step higher than that, to train police officers who carry a sophistication that other security forces may not.
Boy, this is really interesting to me. You know, Sam, you know this as well as I do, that the school buildings we're talking about are big places. And I'm wondering if we're developing, you know, how realistic a sense of security we're going to get as a result of sort of manning up here with so many officers. Can we really prevent a new town down the road, or are we sort of fooling ourselves here?
Well, I think there's in addition to the police officers, there's been an enormous amount of money spent in remodeling schools to make them essentially harden the target. I mean, the fact is that if a school resource officer or a police officer is not right there at the door, I mean, if they're somewhere else in the building, you know, they still have to make their way to the to the shooter. But I think that what schools are doing, they've done it in Shawnee Mission, spent a ton of money in some of the other districts around here to create pinch points. In some cases in Blue Springs, they've removed windows so it's not as easy to see in. But there's been tens of millions of dollars spent on changing the configuration of school buildings so that there's only one way in and one way out, that visitors have to actually pass through the office before they get into the school. The addition of cameras and software. I mean, I refer to it as this the school security industrial complex.
Well, is this an overreaction, Sam?
You know, it's a lot of money and it's hard to say. But, you know, I talked to the person who's in charge of security, assistant superintendent in Olathe. And after Sandy Hook, they already had plans to remodel their buildings. But they added money into a bond issue 2 years ago, which they issued to mostly build a new high school. But they spent $37 million, $32.7 million to remodel schools. What she said was that how do we look at a parent and say, we're going to get to your school in 2 years, right? That we have, you know, we know what to do. We've remodeled some of these schools, but we're going to get to years later. So they accelerated that. Is it too much? It's a lot of money, right? And sometimes I think, well, there are schools out there that don't have storm shelters. And here in Kansas and Missouri, do we have a better chance of having a tornado come through or a gunman? But it's all – in some ways, it's what the parents want. If parents want better security, then they're gonna pay for it.
But
they
did
in Olathe. Where they, you know, they passed a bond issue with this in it, 77% of the vote. So they clearly want this.
The analogy with 9/11 and how this country reacted in the wake of the airplanes hitting the World Trade Center, the airplanes hitting targets in Washington, isn't lost on me here. The tens of billions of dollars that were spent to respond to that – and some folks now looking back at that and saying, you know, we may have gone too far.
Well, it's a, you know, everybody has finite resources, but Shawnee Mission has spent $4.5 million in the last couple of years. And I believe that there are plans to spend even more updating the building. Is that correct, Chief?
It is. But I think it's a mistake to try to pin all of this on Newtown, Connecticut, and look at it as an active shooter. One of the things that we're doing is certainly making it a restricted access to the schools. That's for certain. But it's not just for the guy walking in with the AR-15. It's for everybody and all of the perils that can walk in through that front door. on our high schools, I'm proposing a perimeter security system that will allow us to be able to close down the doors and be able to know when one's propped open and a variety of things. But think of what that does. It's not just the active shooter. It's not just Klebold bringing in gas bombs through the back open door. It's the interaction with the person who's going out to his car to get dope to bring in and sell in the school. It's the interaction of the people who leave to do other things. It's the ability to shut all of those things down. And one other thing that I think is lost here is, again, you can't walk into the Sprint headquarters and walk directly up into anybody's office. There are choke points, if you wish. There's security there. There's all of those things. You can't walk into Black and Veatch. You can't walk into the Overland Park Police Department and walk all over.
But when it comes to public facilities, though, this country is an open country. Our borders have long been open. Our schools have long been open. Our city and county buildings have long been open places of public access. And again, I'm just raising the question, how much is too much?
Well, they've been open access, but the question now comes, should they always be open access? Should our military bases be open access? Should our hospitals all be open access? I think a happy medium is to be able to restrict some of that for honest-to-goodness security reasons. And we look back at 9/11 and we think of all the money that we put into that and all the efforts. And you know, a lot of that money went into prevention. And we haven't had, knock on wood, another major entrance on this deal. Now, if we do, and we might, and it may be some would say a certainty that we will, there will be another hue and cry, and all of that money that we spent will not seem like it was enough. So there has to be a happy balance. There has to be a well-thought-out justification for what we're doing, and it can't be an emotional reaction, although, quite frankly, when you have one, you get an emotional reaction.
Steve, I'll just say there has been some research that shows that if you make it too much of an armed encampment, that students actually feel not as safe. And I think as Chief Armstrong told me, and you didn't hear it in the piece, but the last thing you want is police officers with assault rifles and dressed out in SWAT gear patrolling the perimeter of a school. You don't want it to look like some school in northern Israel where it's surrounded by razor wire and everybody's got assault rifles. So there is this balance, and it's pretty delicate, I think. I think it's a hard one to hit so that parents feel that they can come in and bring cupcakes in on their kid's birthday, and that kids feel like we're not in an armed encampment. Or in some cases that where they have no privacy. I looked at the Blue Springs Police Department camera operation, and it's massive. There are a few places that you can go where you're not being watched, and there is a little bit of a balance that because I think people expect and deserve some privacy.
Yeah. Let me get our listeners to comment here on this balance that Sam Zeff was just talking about. What do you make of these ideas to make our schools safer? Is it time to arm our school teachers and put police officers in our school buildings? Give us a shout. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. Chief, I cut you off.
Well, I was going to say that absolutely privacy is a big part of this. And I think it's an illusion to think that somebody, because there are cameras, that somebody's watching you. The truth of the matter is no one has the staff to watch 130 cameras. And consequently, all of that information is legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember working with the Jewish Community Center and the camera system they put in their building, and it was extensive. But no one saw anything until we had an event, and then we were able to go back and take a look at the video of what transpired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big difference. What you don't know is when we had the ambassador from Israel there in the middle of a situation, our dispatchers were able to look at some of those cameras and see when individuals were walking around in places that would cause a security question, or a couple times when they left suitcases or briefcases in places that might do it. But that's a rare event. We've had camera access to the schools for a long time, but I will tell you, nobody can watch those cameras.
Yeah.
And so it's not really a privacy question.
John, how many officers do you have in your department now in the Shawnee Mission School District, and how do you deploy them? How's that working?
We have 7.
There's lots of schools in the Shawnee Mission School District.
We have 45 buildings.
Okay.
Now we have 7. One each DRO is assigned to each high school. There's an SRO there, which is the city equivalent. So you have two officers in each high school. Now, you might understand that sounds like, well, two officers to a high school, but that's a population of almost 2,000. When I was at Overland Park, we had a ratio of 1.4 per 1,000 officers. Mm-hmm. So it's the same. The other two officers work relief sections, and when they're not relieving somebody, they're actually will be very soon in and out of the elementary school. So we have a presence where we can work with them and help them as, in many ways.
You know, Claire called us, Chief, to ask us, where's the money coming from to pay for all of this?
Well, it's a public institution, so the money always comes from the public. It comes from taxes and those other things. But so far to date, I think in Shawnee Mission, we've been able to cover all of those expenses without any kind of tax increase. It's been a more modest attempt than some other school districts. And my recommendation is we're going to need to step it up in some respects to catch up our ground. But, you know, I don't anticipate that it has to be a burden any more than it is.
Let's go to some phone calls here. Eric, Eric, good morning. Welcome to Up to Date.
You know, the students aren't naive to the implementation of a lot of security that we see out there. Has the question been posed to them, do they feel safer?
I think he's asking, if Eric, your phone's breaking up a little bit. The question is, do the kids feel safer with all this added security? Chief, what's your sense?
Well, we have just now started implementing it, so there's no good way to know that. I think that the kids in the schools feel relatively safe, but equally important is the parents. And when we took a look at, in Shawnee Mission, the most important priorities for the patrons of Shawnee Mission, security ranked way up at the top, and we are getting consistent pressure to continue to move forward with these upgrades and to spread them all throughout the school district. We were only able to upgrade 16 schools with the pilot program. And so are they physically safer? Yes. Are they perceived to be safer? I would think so.
And your focus then so far has been what, on the bigger facilities, the high schools, the middle schools?
No, actually, the original thing, the 16 were the alternate high school and 15 elementary schools.
Why'd you go that way?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't there when they made that decision, but I think it was a lot of it was those were buildings that they could quickly make an impact on. I mean, a high school is a much bigger project, and the elementary schools could be changed much faster.
But wouldn't the potential impact, wouldn't you want to impact high schools far more? Wouldn't they be a far higher priority than elementary schools?
Well, it depends on where your child goes.
Is that what it comes down to?
Think about this for a moment.
I get that.
The decisions for that came shortly after Newtown. And Newtown was a different thing. It was the first time ever an elementary school had been attacked, and it was an external threat as opposed to an internal threat.
Mm-hmm.
We've been fairly effective on the internal threats. The security measures we're putting in place at the high schools will be for a large variety of reasons, not just the active shooter. But when they saw those poor children in Newtown, Connecticut, every parent in the world, including my daughter, who has children in our elementary schools, wanted to know what we were going to do.
Have you seen the same sort of focus on elementary schools in Blue Springs, I think you mentioned, Sam, or do you have a feel for that?
Oh, I believe that in districts which really jumped into it and were willing to put a bond issue out there, and they had a $20 million bond issue in Blue Springs, they made the decision that, you know, we're going to put that out there and we're going to do all of our schools at the same time. So there, so that remodeling of older elementary schools was certainly on the same agenda as doing high schools and middle schools.
And Sam, I haven't even asked you about something else you've reported on, this idea of putting not only more police officers in schools, but making sure that teachers have guns, making buildings more secure. Talk to me about teachers having guns. Where is that happening in Missouri and Kansas, and what's the potential downside there?
Well, right now in Missouri and Kansas, I'm pretty sure that if you have a conceal and carry permit and the school board says yes, that you could bring a gun in. There was legislation in Missouri that Jay Nixon vetoed.
Yes, I was going to ask
that
about.
would have allowed school districts to
designate school protection officers.
I think. And that's going to come up in the veto session coming up right now. There's a dozen districts in Missouri that have sent their teachers to a place called Shield Solutions in West Plains, that's near the Ozarks, where they get intense firearms. firearm training. 40 hours of training over a week in both combat situations and also just shooting at stationary targets. I just talked to the person who runs that operation. Three more districts last week sent teachers there for training. So I think it's a little murky in Missouri, but there are schools right now in both Kansas and Missouri where teachers are packing guns.
Sam, as you know, when Governor Nixon vetoed that bill, he said this: arming teachers will not make our schools safer. I cannot condone putting firearms in the hands of educators who should be focused on teaching our kids. Chief Douglas, do you advocate putting weapons in the hands of teachers or not?
You know, that's a political decision that boards will have to make. I can tell you this much.
What would you advise them, Chief?
Well, I would advise them to consider it very, very carefully, because as a chief of police, I was responsible to make sure that our officers were combat ready. And it's not a one-time event. You can send them to a combat school and they can come back 2 weeks later. But if you don't train all year, every year, if you don't keep those edges, people think that combat's like TV. And an armed combat situation is much more difficult and much more scary.
So if you're not rehearsing and practicing,
you're not going to commit to maintaining a combat-ready unit using teachers, then you should never consider that.
Boy, that's interesting. Okay. We're going to leave our conversation there. What an interesting conversation about staffing up security at our schools. Chief John Douglas, Director of Safety and Security with the Shawnee Mission School District. Chief, always good to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
In case you are Sam Zeff, great report, Sam.